Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Healthcare. It is March 23rd, and I would like to let everyone know that we are carrying over Senate Bill 132 because we did not get all the paperwork for that one. And I would like to open a work session on Senate Bill 626. And there were two amendments. Zena, do you want to bring us up to date on that?
Yes, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 626 directs the Oregon Health Authority to disclose information in prescription drug monitoring programs to additional parties. It requires practitioners to access information from the prescription drug monitoring program before dispensing or prescribing drugs in Schedules 2 through 4. It creates a separate violations for failure to access information and declares an emergency effective on passage. There is a dash one amendment which requires that pharmacies report to the prescription drug monitoring program no later than 72 hours after dispensing a prescription drug, and it eliminates the requirement to report no later than 1 week after dispensing the prescription drug. There is also a dash two amendment which is a gut and stuff but keeps the 72 hour requirement. We have the paperwork. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Okay. We just got the dash two amendments today, and I decided not to hear the dash twos. And I told the proponents who wanted the dash twos to work it on the House side when it gets over there. But we are in work session.
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 626.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 626. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Amendment adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 626 as amended by the dash one amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 626 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Second.
Aye.
Shields?
Excused.
Senator
Hayward?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chairman Sanders?
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Cruz is going to carry this bill. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 626. And colleagues, evidently, I had Senate Bill 231 and Senate Bill 609 on the agenda, and no one told me that there was a stakeholder meeting on Friday, and they decided they wanted the bill pulled. And what I want to tell everyone, that if you want a bill pulled, you've got to let the chair know. And so we need to, there's a work group working on this, and so we're going to carry over. Do we carry over or just?
I just reschedule.
I think we'll have to reschedule. Yeah, so we're going to have to reschedule Senate Bill 231 and 609. And the stakeholders, please come to me and let me know what your preference is. I believe that 231 is going away and that we're doing 609, or is it vice versa?
Around.
We're going to stick with 609 and 231 is going to go away.
No, no, no. 231 is staying, 609
is going away. 231 is the governor's bill. It's staying. Okay, gotcha. All right, and 609 is going away. So reschedule that, please, Zena. And with that, I want to start with 415. So I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 415. And we have major panels first for these bills. And I wanted to, when we get to the public testimony, since there's so many people that want to testify on them, that we're going to limit it to 3 minutes. And the administrator has the timer, so we'd prefer that you not just repeat what the previous people said. So, Zena, do you want to?
Yes, Senate Bill 415 prohibits distributing, selling, or allowing to be sold flavored tobacco products or flavored inhalant delivery system products in the state. There is no amendment, and the fiscal and revenue statements have not been issued.
Karen Gerard.
I think I, maybe I should call up Senator Mona Sanderson, I think. Senator Steiner Hayward, did you want to go down there?
Or? I'm going to let the good, unless Senator Mona Sanderson wants me, I think she's more than capable of doing this justice all by herself.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Vice Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Mona Sanderson. I represent Gresham, Trout, Deadwood Village, and Fairview. And colleagues, this is Senate Bill, I bring Senate Bill 415 before you, which basically is banning flavored e-cigarettes. And what I want to say is the popularity of e-cigarettes has really taken flight. It's a several billion dollar industry now in the United States. And right now, it is unregulated by the U.S. government. And liquid nicotine can be bought and sold over the internet without much oversight. Manufacturers do not have to list ingredients on their packages. The e-cigarette devices are really have a huge appeal to teens. There are e-pens, vape pens, e-hookahs, and hookah pens. And the novelty of an e-cigarette is that it does not contain tar-filled smoke. You get your nicotine hit via the vapor. This has to do with flavors, and e-juice companies create flavor recipes like a mixologist does that would craft the perfect blend for a cocktail. If you go online, you see hundreds of ways to flavor your e-juice. There's fruity, dessert, candy, coffee, nutty, bubblegum, chocolate, cafe, mocha, watermelon. Adults like them, but especially the young also like them. It's a great draw for them. I have submitted a testimony going into a little bit more detail, but because e-cigarettes, so I won't go into that, you can read it on OLIS, but they are a new trend, and health experts are scrambling like crazy to prove that e-cigarettes are a gateway to nicotine addiction. Some studies suggest that adolescents who smoke e-cigarettes were actually more likely to smoke as they get older. So Senate Bill 415, it prohibits distributing, selling, or allowing to be sold flavored tobacco products. We have worked so hard to prevent tobacco use among our youth and need to continue to promote a healthy lifestyle for all Oregonians, and that's why I support Senate Bill 415. And I've asked Karen Girard to give us a little bit of history from the Oregon Health Authority regarding flavored tobacco. Thank you, Karen.
Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee, I'm Karen Girard, the Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention Manager for the Oregon Health Authority. I'm here today to present information related to Senate Bill 415 concerning flavored tobacco. Addiction to tobacco starts in adolescence. In fact, 9 of 10 adults who smoke report that they started smoking before the age of 18. Kids in Oregon are under constant pressure to start using tobacco. Tobacco products are enticing our kids even at the earliest stages. Tobacco products are sweet, cheap, and easy to get, and often placed next to the candy and at a child's eye level in stores. And like candy, tobacco products come in bright packaging and a variety of flavors. In 2009, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration banned the use of flavor additives in cigarettes as an important step in preventing children and adolescents from starting to smoke. Although cigarettes can no longer contain flavors other than menthol or tobacco, the FDA regulation does not apply to other tobacco products, like little cigars, chewing tobacco, hookah tobacco, and electronic cigarettes. These non-cigarette tobacco products still come in a variety of flavors, including peach, strawberry, and grape. The appeal of these flavored products is represented in the data we collect on tobacco use behaviors among Oregon youth. While approximately 9% of all 11th graders in Oregon smoke cigarettes, about 18% of 11th graders use other tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, cigars, hookah, and chew. While the shapes, sizes, packaging, and modes of ingestion vary for those tobacco products, what they all have in common is their availability in a wide variety of flavors. Flavors mask the natural harshness and taste of tobacco, making flavored tobacco products easier to use and increasing their appeal among youth. According to Portland State University researchers, flavor additives are being used to sweeten tobacco products are the same as those used in Lifesavers and Kool-Aid. These types of fruit, candy, and dessert flavors appeal to kids and young people who report that they choose tobacco products with flavors over unflavored tobacco because they taste better. Flavored tobacco is also an issue of equity. The use of flavored tobacco products among tobacco users enrolled in the Oregon Health Plan is 20% higher than tobacco users who are privately insured. Flavored tobacco use is 52% higher among tobacco users who live in lower-income households compared to tobacco users in higher-income households. The Public Health Division appreciates this committee addressing flavored tobacco products. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm unfamiliar with the products, but you've mentioned, and the chair mentioned, tobacco as it relates to these flavors. So I understood that tobacco wasn't in these products. So am I mistaken?
There's no clapping or yelling or, you know, just if you want to do that, you'll have to go in the other room.
Madam Chair, Senator Knopp, e-cigarettes, nicotine can be used, derived from tobacco products to make e-cigarette products.
Senator.
Well, I just want to follow up. So, but there isn't any actual tobacco in the products like we would know as cigarettes or chew or snuff or whatever you want to call it, or cigars. It's not the same.
Chair Monis Anderson and Senator Knopp, we don't actually know what is in e-cigarettes as they are currently unregulated products.
Madam Chair, and just to clarify, my understanding, two pieces that I want to clarify. The first is that my understanding is that this bill talks about both tobacco flavoring and e-cigarette flavoring as two separate things. So I want to be crystal clear that we're talking about that. But the second piece is that we're also talking about inhaled delivery systems in general, and there are versions of these inhaled delivery systems into which one could put tobacco, not the liquids that one puts into some of the more traditional vaping devices. Am I correct on both counts?
Chair Monis Anderson, Senator Steiner Hayward, yes, you are correct.
Thank you.
So I'm just trying to get a handle on this in terms of the fact that the Oregon electorate just legalized marijuana. And so it seems to me like a policy or policies as it relates to marijuana are going to, they're obviously going to have to change. And so I'm trying to assess the policy issue or the policy concern as it relates to flavored, I don't even know what we want to call it, flavored vapor. I'm not.
Liquid.
Liquid, there you go, okay. That you would vape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I haven't been to a vape shop yet, but.
Nor have I.
So I'm trying to kind of get my hands around where our policy should go, because these are small businesses, it's a legal product, and it seems like we're trying to regulate it out of existence, which. It seems to go against what we're doing with marijuana, which we're legalizing it, and pretty much it's going to be everywhere. It already is everywhere in Bend. So, do you have a thought in terms of Oregon's move toward legalizing marijuana and how that relates to the policies that we're pursuing to ban a flavor of a liquid that people like to vape on a legal product?
Chair Monis Anderson, Senator Knopp, I can't speak to the marijuana piece exactly, but the concern, of course, with any of these products is the flavor being an enticement to youth using products. And as we've known with cigarettes, that was often a gateway into using products that are dangerous for kids to use.
So, okay, so we have flavors in alcohol. I don't drink alcohol either, but I think there's flavors in alcohol, different kinds, I assume, because I see them on the shelf. So why are we not banning flavors of alcohol?
Senator Knopf, that is a valid question.
But we don't have bubble gum. I will have to have the security remove those who tend to speak out like that. This is how the Senate works, and when you come to a public hearing, if you want to speak out, you need to sign up on the list, and I will call you forward. But if there's any more outbursts, I'll have to have security remove you from the room. Thank you. The reason that this bill was introduced is we have worked so hard to keep our youth from being addicted to tobacco products. And now with e-cigarettes, there are all these wonderful flavors, fruity flavors, bubblegum, watermelon, cafe mocha. And if you look at the ads, and it is an enticement for young people. So that is why this bill was introduced, so that it's to prevent our youth, actually, from being enticed into becoming addicted to a nicotine product.
But don't we have a bill that's going to ban youth from being able to have access to them?
Yes.
So, Madam Chair, if I may. Thank you. I think I'd like to make a distinction here. Senator Knope, I think that it's useful. I'm looking right now at a website that talks about all the different kinds of chewing tobacco that are available and all the different flavors. Let's leave aside the issue of inhaled delivery systems and the kinds of liquids that can go in there for the moment. When you have chewing tobacco available in cinnamon, apple blend, berry blend, cherry, citrus, peach, key lime, vanilla, I could go on. I guess I'm concerned that those are primarily targeting children. Now, in smoke cigarette tobacco that people smoke, all of those flavorings have been banned, and you can only add menthol flavors to tobacco there. But in chewing tobacco, which is the new target for children, then now they're doing that. So they're adding all these flavors, and you know, I appreciate your point, and we are, we hope, going to pass legislation. It's passed handily out of the House, to limit access to inhaled delivery systems among the youth. But I just want to point out that despite the fact that cigarettes are not allowed to have all this flavoring in them, chewing tobacco, there's no such restriction, and that makes it a much more appealing product for children. Even though in theory they're not supposed to be able to buy it, there's no ability to enforce that in the state because we don't have licensure of tobacco retailers. So we have no way to enforce that. And there's no law that says that you can't walk into a store that sells chewing tobacco in this state if you're under 18, because there are lots of stores that sell lots of other products too. So I think we have a challenge in particular with tobacco. And while this bill covers both, and I'm one of the sponsors of it, I would argue pretty strongly that tobacco flavoring is a really big issue. The inhaled delivery systems is an issue, but I think that we have ways of dealing that since those products are sold separately from tobacco, which are sold in convenience stores and across the state. So that's my distinction that I would care to make here.
Thank you. All right, we have two students from the Rebels group. Are they here? I don't have the names. Is it Jessica Bao and Sydney Ramirez and Amelia Alfred? And Vitran. The three of you, and then they can come back. Thank you.
Okay. Chair Monas Anderson and members of the committee, my name is Jessica Vo, and I am a senior at Sunset High School in Portland, and I'm 18 years old. I'm here with Rebels for a Cause, and we're a group made up of high school students who are mentored by Providence, and we strive to influence through education and inspire through example to promote a tobacco-free world. This legislation is important to us because it directly affects our message. And our mission. Banning flavored tobacco products and the sale of e-cigarettes to minors will reduce the numbers of youth using these harmful products because 88% of smokers start before the age of 18. These colorful and exciting flavors are directly targeting us kids because adults aren't the one wanting cotton candy flavored tobacco. They're just looking for the nicotine. The big tobacco company is looking for a way to lure kids into using our products so that we become addicted to the tobacco and continue to use it our whole life. I joined Rebels because my dad has been a smoker his entire life. He started at a very young age, and I have seen how it affects his daily life and routine, having to go outside every couple of hours and take a smoke. This is why I want to educate young middle school students and my own peers about the dangers of tobacco so that they make the right decision and never start smoking. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you so much.
Chair Monas and committee members, good afternoon. My name is Amelia Monfred. I am an 18-year-old senior at Beaverton High School, and I am in support of Bill 415. As many know, Big Tobacco spends $10 million a day to market their products, and they are well aware that 88% of smokers started before the age of 18. Personally, I know many people who have tried smoking but stopped because of the foul taste. But what if the little cigar or e-cigarette they tried tasted like crazy coconut or silly strawberry? What if it actually tasted good? Tobacco companies know that regular cigarettes don't taste good to most children and use flavors as a means of getting them hooked and to have them be replacement smokers. In fact, according to the FDA in 2004, 22.8% of 17-year-old smokers reported using flavored cigarettes over the past month, as compared to 6.7% of smokers over the age of 25. This tactic they use is extremely obvious that they are attempting to get young children to smoke. Even heavy smokers I know believe that they are trying to get young kids to pick up their first tobacco products because a smoker does not go in for the flavor but for the rush of nicotine they get. In fact, they did an investigation finding tobacco company documents reveal clear patterns of designing flavored cigarettes to target youth. Advisors to one company developed concept for a youth cigarette, including cola and apple flavors, and a sweet flavor cigarette, stating it's a well-known fact that teenagers like sweet products. In addition, the tobacco companies make many flavored products look like candy products and give them cute little names like Bubbly Bubblegum and Blooming Berries. The tobacco companies are trying to name their products similar to children's favorite candies. They know that in order to get that 88% of kids to start smoking, they need to enforce methods of normalizing tobacco and making it seem as harmless as candy. Studies of youth expectations around other flavored tobacco products, like Bitus and hookahs, have found that young smokers report choosing flavored products over cigarettes because they taste better and are perceived to be safer. In conclusion, there is overwhelming evidence that tobacco companies are trying to market their products to children and youth. Your support of Senate Bill 415 would give advocates such as myself a weapon to combat the threat of flavored tobacco products. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair Monas Anderson and committee members. My name is Sidney Ramirez. I am 17 years old, and I'm a senior at Madison High School in Portland.
My name is V Tran, and I am also a senior attending Madison High School in Portland.
We're here today in support of Bill 415.
Within the past few years, tobacco products have become very common within our everyday lives. Products such as e-cigarettes and vape pens are cleverly disguised to fit the popular demands of today's youth. For example, I have seen a fellow student in one of my classes pulling out a vape pen from her bag. She decided to take a quick puff and returned it to her bag as the teacher started to walk around the classroom. Since vape pens have no odor and are shaped like ordinary pens, they do not draw attention. Aside from vape pens, the tobacco industry has also marketed e-cigarettes to target the next generation of smokers. In addition, earlier this year, I have been told by a close friend of mine that e-cigarettes are not as harmful as they sound. Hearing this from a health services student had me stunned. Her argument was that e-cigarettes and vape pens make it easier to those who are planning to quit.
As Rebels, we do many presentations at our school, one of which includes a game where the objective is to differentiate the images of tobacco products and images of candy. When confronted with the bright colors and the words like vanilla, strawberry, watermelon, and other endless flavors, the students are really shocked as they struggle to differentiate the images of tobacco products and the candy. We even have had some students who couldn't even find any of the tobacco products within the pile, even though there's a fairly even number of tobacco product images and candy. I have the game with me here today, but it's really hard to present it to you guys. Thank you for your time. We'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
I'm impressed. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and give testimony on something you're obviously very passionate about. Thank you very much.
And Madam Chair, not to be disrespectful to the Madison people, but go Apollos.
So did all the Rebel youth testify?
I think okay. Some of them testified and some of the other ones.
Sarah Harstein and Jen Baker and... Is there an AHA representative?
Sure. Chair Monas Anderson, Vice Chair Cruz, and members of the Senate Healthcare Committee. My name is Sarah Hartstein, and I'm the Benton County Health Policy Specialist. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Coalition of Local Health Officials in support of Senate Bill 415 and the e-cigarette bill that is under consideration. As Karen Girard mentioned in her background information, flavored cigarettes other than menthol are banned by federal legislation, but other flavored tobacco products are allowed to be sold. Flavored tobacco products mask the harshness and taste of regular tobacco, which makes them easier to use and more appealing to youth. In 2012, an Oregon study counted 327 flavors that were found in tobacco products in our state. Over half of the flavors were found in little cigars, moist snuff, dissolvable shisha, and snus. In the last few years, as you know, vaping has become increasingly popular. The liquid nicotine used to refill inhalant delivery systems come in more than 100 flavors, and that is that's an underestimate of the amount of flavors that they come in. Anything the legislator can do to help reduce the appeal of these products to youth can help our local tobacco prevention efforts and prevent new nicotine addictions among youth. In Benton County, our Board of Commissioners have already taken steps to prohibit the sale of electronic smoking devices to youth in our county and prohibit their use where smoking is already prohibited by law. They've also made no exemptions for vape shops or smoke shops for the reasons that I've already listed here. Thank you for the opportunity to provide this testimony. The Coalition of Local Health Officials urges you to support this important bill.
Chair Monas Anderson, committee members, for the record, my name is Sarah Higginbotham, and I'm here representing both the American Heart Association and the American Stroke Association. I'll be brief and try not to repeat what's already been said. I'll first say that the AHA is here to support Senate Bill 415 and reiterate that, again, nearly 90% of adult smokers begin smoking before the age of 18, and 99%, according to the U.S. Surgeon General, start before the age of 26. And then, as you've already heard twice now, in 2009, the federal government banned the use of flavoring in cigarettes. There's been a lot of discussion around e-liquids and e-cigarettes, and I also just want to emphasize for committee members and for the record that the AHA and the American Tobacco Association is concerned not only about the use of e-cigarettes, but also about the use of cigars. What we saw happen with the industry after 2009 was that many tobacco companies took their flavored cigarette products and adjusted them to meet the definition of cigars. And then we saw an increase in the usage in the last 5 to 6 years in cigars. Cigars remain the second most widely used tobacco product among youth next to cigarettes. And the American Heart Association and American Stroke Association are very concerned that it is now the new gateway to tobacco products for America's youth. So with that, the American Heart Association and American Stroke Association recommend passing Senate Bill 415. We feel that there's clear evidence that this is both an initiator for Oregon youth, for America's youth, and a dangerous trend for public health.
When did you say that they prevented flavoring of cigarettes? When?
2009.
Thank you.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Jen Baker, testifying on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association. ONA is proud to participate and be a member of the Oregon Partners for Tobacco Prevention, OPTOP, and has long worked with the members of the legislature around tobacco and nicotine prevention and cessation efforts. And we believe that Senate Bill 415 aligns nicely with the work that we've already been doing together in helping to prevent youth from starting to smoke and helping to help folks who already smoke or use nicotine products to quit. And as you've already heard, a lot of my testimony has been covered, so I'll be brief. But as you've already heard, there's a strong precedent since 2009 of banning flavoring in tobacco products. And ONA strongly encourages you to extend that to all tobacco products and nicotine products here in Oregon.
Questions? Thank you very much. Spencer Knowles, Kristen McCready, and Ron Sather.
I'd like to go last, if you guys don't mind starting.
Senator Monis Anderson, Chair Monis Anderson, and the committee. I'm Ron Sather. I live in Albany. I also own a shop here in town. And I'm a 35-year smoker. A year and a half ago, I picked up a vaporizer and haven't had a cigarette since. I do not like tobacco flavors. I probably would not have been successful if that would have been my only option. Also, one of my biggest competitions out there is actually for flavored e-liquids is unlicensed people that are selling them on Facebook. And I believe if you pass this bill, all you're going to do is incorporate this all into the black market and shut our businesses down.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Kristen McCready, and I'm here to fight for the right to be able to have different flavors. I've noticed that the different flavors allow me to dissociate my nicotine with tobacco to the juice. So I'm not associating wanting to smoke the nicotine dependency with a cigarette. It's more with the actual juice itself. So something that's sweet, I like to do a pineapple one. And that's what I like to do. It's called Mom's Pineapple, and it's made a huge difference in my life. I started smoking when I was 15 years old. And it just, once I hit 18, didn't really want to smoke anymore. It had become such a foul thing to me that I started to vape, and it completely changed my outlook on how I get my nicotine. It allowed me to go down to a zero nicotine. So I'm not even vaping nicotine anymore. I'm just vaping the actual liquid because it's something I enjoy. I noticed my lungs started to clear up. I was able to run more. I can hike. I don't have coughing anymore. So all of those things changed significantly for me by starting to vape.
Thank you very much.
Hi there, my name is Spencer Knowles. I'm a vape shop owner in Bend, Oregon. And I'd like to make a few points. I have a video I put together for you. It's under 5 minutes. Really quick few points. Everybody in this room
is for making this an 18 and up product. Nobody in here wants kids using vaping. And the reason for that is most of us, at least everybody I've met in my industry, is about helping people get away from cigarettes, away from tobacco products. None of us consider this a tobacco product because we use it to help people quit tobacco products. To me, it's the same as saying Nicorette gum is a tobacco product because it contains nicotine. I don't feel that it is. Those are my points. I'd like to go ahead and show you a video I put together at my shop of my customers testifying why flavors are important to them and how they help them quit smoking.
Flavor-wise, it's just a little more dense.
Here is the flavor tasting area of our vape shop. We have digital menus to show the flavors and nicotine levels available in each flavor. Once the customer selects the flavor they like, our employee goes ahead and grabs a preloaded cartridge that already has a flavor in it and a battery to power that cartridge. They then take a silicone sleeve that is hygienically packaged, put it on the tip or mouthpiece, and then that is handed to the customer so that they can go ahead and try the flavor. Go ahead and show them what it's like, Kelly.
Hey, Lisa Travis, live here in Bend, Oregon, 42 years old. Quit smoking about a year and a half ago thanks to vaping, in particular because of the flavors. Blueberry is my favorite now. The flavors have been amazing. Without them, I think I'd still be smoking. I don't want to taste tobacco and I don't want to taste menthol.
Spencer Skeen, I'm 39, and I love the coffee flavors. It's been great because it isn't like tobacco, and I feel like if I was limited to just tobacco flavors, it would make me feel more tempted to go back to using actual cigarettes.
My name is Joseph Lewis. I live in Bend, Oregon. I'm 29 years old. My favorite flavors are Newberry Banana Split and Cotton Candy. Having all the extra flavors helped me get out, quit smoking, because if I didn't have the flavors, I would just smoke.
My name is Josh. I am from Bend, Oregon. I'm 37 years old. Favorite flavors, I gotta say High Mountain Mist Zebra Milk, and just about anything orange or grape, really. After smoking cigarettes for over 20 years, I decided to go to vaping, and to help me break the habit of the whole nicotine, the whole tobacco thing. I wanted to go with different flavors than tobacco. If I was going to vape, I wanted to enjoy the flavors as well.
My name's Reed. I'm from Redmond, 30 years old. My favorite flavor is jackfruit and dragon fruit. If we go just tobacco natural flavors, it may make me want to go back to cigarettes and chewing, because that's why I initially started using it. I haven't chewed in over 6 months, and I haven't smoked in longer than that.
Hi, my name is Eric Traylor. I'm 39 years old from Bend, Oregon. I am a huge supporter of the vape. I was a pack and a half a day smoker of cigarettes for several years. Vaping has allowed me to stop smoking, especially the flavored juices. The reason being that having a variety of flavors and able to scale down the nicotine as I've gone, having this has really allotted me the possibility to give up a habit that on my own accord I was never able to truly kick. So I'm grateful for the vape. I'm almost down to a zero nicotine level. Then I'll be able to completely stop from there. So I appreciate having this as an alternative.
My name's Nicole. I'm 20 and I've lived here since I was 6. And I smoke menthol, and I can't buy the menthol flavor.
And we're going to have to.
It's just going to make me want a pack of cigarettes. I like the raspberry shuffle because it doesn't taste like cigarettes at all.
Certainly, my point is that adults are using flavors specifically so that they aren't forced into cigarette flavors that might remind them of the very thing they're trying to quit.
Thank you. I just was curious what you felt if we pulled the e-liquids out of this bill and just had it focusing on tobacco products.
Well, I don't purvey tobacco products. I would like to take the entire tobacco industry down, so I would certainly be up for that. You laugh, but honestly, miss, everyone who comes into my shop feels like they've been wrong, tricked, and manipulated into being addicted to smoking when they were kids, as you like to point out. And now that they're adults, they've found flavored vaping is helping them get away from that cigarette taste they unfortunately were addicted to as a child.
Okay, we have 14 more on this bill, and we
have
so we really have to keep going. Carrie Nissen, and then James Wright, Matt Minahan.
I'm sorry?
Do you guys care who goes first?
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Matt Minahan, represent the Northwest Vapor Association. I'm going to be extremely brief today because we got a lot of testimony. I did ask all our members to testify today and call out their flavors, tell their stories and say what flavors. You're going to see that we have grown adults that are successfully using the kitty flavors for the e-liquids to stop smoking. We have grown men smoking cinnamon, puffy vanilla, Cap'n Crunch. Yes, it won't do a whole lot for their manhood today, but hopefully we get across the point that we are successfully using these flavors for to stop smoking and to start vaping, which is definitely the healthier option. We have another bill, 2546, that's before you today. That section one of that bill says we will not sell to minors. We have agreed with that since day one, and quite frankly have been doing that before any legislation was even proposed. Again, section one says we will not sell to minors. So we will have a bill that says we don't sell to minors, essentially making Senate Bill 415 a flavors ban. So we will have, we say we won't sell the minors, but we'll have grown adults who can buy different flavors of alcohol, but they can't buy different flavors of a solution that is helping them quit smoking. That is a health reduction, or that is promoting a much healthier option to smoking. So again, we feel that just with the two bills combined, that makes this a flavors ban, and it's gonna, you know, not only destroy the industry, but it's going to create a black market. We're going to have people going on the internet buying these liquids from China, buying these liquids from shady characters who call different, you know, maybe a menthol-1, a menthol-2, that who knows what's in it and what it tastes like. So we don't want to create a black market. We want it, we want the industry regulated. We will adhere to the laws. We just want it controlled away from minors and in the hands of the right shop owners and using it as an effective tool to get people quit smoking. We don't want to market to kids. We never have. And that's, you know, my point on that. I'll kind of end there to be brief.
Thank you.
I will let the lady go first.
Good afternoon, Chair Monis Anderson and committee members. My name is Carrie Neeson, and I'm with the American Lung Association of the Mountain Pacific. I serve as their advocacy director there. And the American Lung Association strongly supports this legislation. And from our viewpoint, it's all about our kids. It's all about deterring our youth from a lifetime of addiction to nicotine. And those who have gone before me have said things very well, so I won't repeat any of their statistics. I'd just like to remind you that vaping is not an FDA-approved cessation product. So we don't know that vaping actually helps people quit smoking. And just, I have a little bit of show and tell. Chair, you were talking about the mixology of e-vapes. And I have this little brochure here. And by the time I get done looking at it, I want to go home and bake if I were a baker, because there's so many different things that you can do with these e-juices and all these different flavors. And I have just some particularly egregious flavors here. You can go into your corner convenience store and you can buy gummy bears for your children, or your children can buy an e-liquid that's called Juicy Gummy Bear. You can also go in and buy some Hubba Bubba bubble tape, or your children can also go in and buy some e-juice that's Juicy Bubble Gum. So these products are just so clearly marketing to our kids. I really encourage you to support this legislation for our kids. Thanks.
Thank you. Chair Anderson, Vice Chair Cruz, my name is James Wright. I am the lab manager for Vape Friday local vape store. I am a 24-year smoker. I started while I was in the military. I'm a 10-year Army veteran. I then got out of the Army and then tried to quit smoking several times. I tried the patch. Unfortunately, I was allergic to the adhesive on it, so that didn't work. I'm against 415. I mean, my store basically is the smallest represented here. It's myself, my wife, and my father-in-law. We have no employees. If this bill were to pass in its current form, 41% of my sales from the 1st of March to the 21st of March, that's 41% of my sales total. I would basically lose a great deal of sales. I hardly ever sell. I mean, within like 1 in 100 people that come into my shop, they'll buy a tobacco flavor. Rest of them, I smoke, or smoke. Excuse me. I'm nervous. I vape coffee flavors during the morning. In the afternoon, I will occasionally use sweeter fruit flavors like strawberry lemonade. I've tried the cereal flavors. I never really could like them very much. I started out as a higher nicotine level, and I've been able to drop down to a 6 milligram. My biggest thrill of owning the shop is when customers come in and they tell me that, you know, they haven't touched a cigarette in a month when they started vaping. I have customers that have come in and told me, hey, I want to pick up a 0 milligram nicotine. I just want the flavor for right now. And then I've had other customers come in and they tell me, you know what, I'm going to stop vaping because I don't need it anymore. And that's my thrill for a day, is having a customer come in and tell me, you know, I'm going down to 0 milligrams. So, and I have to agree with, you know, if the bill is passed, people will get flavored e-liquids from, you know, the internet, overseas, out of state. So, I mean, it really, all it affects is the people who are in Oregon who can't get, you know, the shops, because we can't sell flavors to keep up that competition with companies that are outside the state or out overseas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Question. All right. I have the prerogative to open other bills at the same time, since there seems to be a repetition. So I'm going to open keep 415 open, but open a public hearing on Senate Bill 2546.
That would be.
I'm on that one too. You want me to stay?
House Bill. I'm sorry. House Bill 2546.
I'm stuck.
House Bill 2546 defines inhalant delivery system. It amends laws relating to the sale of tobacco products to and the use of tobacco products by minors. It expands the scope of the offense of endangering the welfare of a minor by knowingly causing sale of tobacco products to minors by including distribution and sale of inhalant delivery systems. It adds inhalants to the Oregon Clean Air Act. There is a 20 amendment, which specifies labeling and packaging requirements of inhalant delivery systems do not apply to substances contained in the cartridge marketed or sold for the purpose of being used with inhalant delivery systems. A-21 amendment, which eliminates the directive that it is unlawful to distribute or sell inhalant delivery system if it's not labeled or packaged in a manner attractive to minors. A-24 amendment, which defines vapor shop and permits aerosolizing or vaporizing of inhalants that are not cannabinoids in a vapor shop.
Great. We have Representative Olson, Representative Taylor, and Mark Mayer. You can come back down, Mark. He'll hear me.
He might be hiding out there, Madam Chair. I don't know.
Representative Taylor.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Chair Monica Anderson, members of the committee, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm Kathleen Taylor, State Representative for House District 41, which includes Milwaukee, Oak Grove, and parts of Southeast Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you about House Bill 2546, which pertains to electronic cigarettes. This bill comes to you with an overwhelming bipartisan support from the House, with a 56 yes vote, 2 no, and 2 absent. Specifically, House Bill 2546 prohibits the sale of quote-unquote inhalant delivery systems to minors, which will be formally defined in a moment, hopefully by Mark Mayer when he arrives. It applies all age-restricted regulation of tobacco products to e-cigarettes and includes the prohibition of use of e-cigarettes in the Indoor Clean Air Act. E-cigarettes pose a significant health risk to individuals, especially young people, and to others when smoked indoors. We've been successful in decreasing the rates of tobacco use among teens, but teen use of e-cigarettes is on the rise, threatening that success. This bill was developed during the interim with a wide group of stakeholders.
I served on that work group as well, along with a wide group of stakeholders, including medical professionals, agency personnel, health advocates, local governments, business interests, and many others. In addition, I want to draw attention to the letters of support that you see in OLAS from the Oregon Medical Association, the Oregon Nurses Association, Oregon Department of Justice, BOMA, otherwise known as Building Owners and Managers Association, an Association of Oregon Counties, as well as several individual county letters, and the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police. I want to apologize, I can't mention them all, because we have a long list of folks who are that are supporting this bill. This group was meticulous in crafting the definition, and we had extensive discussions about the precise language and details of the bill, as Mark Mayer, our LC drafter here, is here to explain. In addition, our work group was forward-thinking, recognizing the likelihood of passage 91, the marijuana initiative, which is why marijuana is included in the language of House Bill 2546. When someone uses an inhalant delivery system, one cannot tell what kind of juice is being smoked. The juice may contain nicotine, it may be a candy-flavored liquid, or it may contain marijuana. If we allow e-cigarettes or inhalant delivery systems to be used in restaurants, movie theaters, workplaces, etc., then it will be nearly impossible for a citizen, a store owner or employee, or a law enforcement officer to determine whether or not someone is using an inhalant delivery system to smoke an e-cigarette or marijuana. So in addition to the usual health advocates, law enforcement is in strong support of the Indoor Clean Air Act provisions of this bill and will be testifying shortly. Enforcement of the new marijuana laws are going to be complicated enough without having to include the indoor e-cigarettes into the mix. My comments are brief so that others can talk more, and I just want to urge your support for House Bill 2546. Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Andy Olson. I am a state representative from the Albany area. And I, you know, basically, I just want to take a moment here and share that I am supportive of this bill. 2 years ago, or actually a year ago, last February, there was two bills that were heard in Representative Carolyn Tomei's House Committee on Human Services. One of those was mine, and the other one belonged to Representative Barnhart. They were paralleled in nature. However, mine's was real short, and it was just prohibition is all it was to minors for possession as well as for sale. Now, the retailers really wanted to see that happen, and I think you're going to hear that testimony as well today. One of the things when we were listening to these two bills, Madam Chair and committee members, was that the room was packed with people, and story after story you heard of how folks used vaping to get off of a 2 to 3 pack a day habit, and it was extremely successful, and those were really powerful stories. So I'm supportive of this bill. I was not part of the work group, but one thing that I'd really would appreciate this committee to consider are the -23s amendments on this, and basically it still stays true to the prohibition portion of it. It prevents marijuana to be used and smoked as well inside or vaped inside of the businesses, but it allows to be the vape to be used or at least tried inside of the premise itself, and that's all it does.
Thank you. Mark, you want to take us through the bill?
Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee, my name is Mark Mayer, Legislative Counsel. I was the person who prepared the bill. I attended the work group meetings throughout the summer, prepared several drafts for the work group to look at. I'm sure you're very familiar with these types of processes, and ultimately put together the bill that was introduced and then shortly amended in the House side. The bill basically does three main things, and I'll go through those very briefly. And then I want to touch on a couple of other provisions that seem to have caused some concern for industry. I was asked to specifically testify about those today. So the first thing that the bill does is it defines inhalant delivery system, and then it applies all the tobacco laws with respect to minors equally to inhalant delivery systems. And that would include those laws that create violations for selling to minors as well as for possession and things like that. The important thing to remember about this bill is it does treat the two things equally in all respects. The second part of the bill is it defines inhalants with respect to the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act, and then it prohibits the aerosolizing or vaporizing of inhalants, which have specific meanings as well, equally as the Indoor Clean Air Act applies to smoking. So as the Indoor Clean Air Act applies to smoking, it would also apply to the aerosolizing or vaporizing of inhalants, and that's to make it apply equally to e-cigarettes as well. The first definition that I want to walk you through is inhalant delivery system. On the A-engrossed bill, it's on page 2. It's at the very top of the page, subsection 1, subparagraph A. Inhalant delivery system means, and I find it useful just to walk through these things, a device that can be used to deliver nicotine or cannabinoids in the form of a vapor or aerosol to a person inhaling from the device, or a component of a device described in this subparagraph, or a substance in any form sold for the purpose of being vaporized or aerosolized by a device described in this subparagraph. One of the challenges with the definition is how do you capture all the different types of products? And the way that we did this was we made it apply to the device itself, which would be the e-cigarette. Important thing to remember there is that it can be used to deliver nicotine or cannabinoids. In other words, if it doesn't deliver one of those two things into your respiratory system, the definition is not going to apply to the device. However, the device can be used to deliver other things into your respiratory system as well. So it has to be capable of doing one of those two things. And then the second part of the definition is component or substance. I believe it was very important to the work group to get in the word substance to make sure it would apply to all the various forms of e-juice and things like that that go into them. Then for the Indoor Clean Air Act piece, excuse me, real quickly, we also felt it was important to include that the device does not include any product that has been approved by the FDA for sales of tobacco cessation product or for other therapeutic purpose, and that is marketed and sold solely for that approved purpose. So again, the language there prohibits or does not make this law apply to things that are purely for therapeutic or tobacco cessation purposes underneath the FDA. For the Indoor Clean Air Act piece, that is on page 7. Inhalant means nicotine, a cannabinoid, or other substance that is in a form that allows it to be delivered into a person's respiratory system, is inhaled for the purpose of delivering the nicotine, cannabinoid, or other substance into a person's respiratory system, and again, is not approved by or emitted by a device approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration for a therapeutic purpose, or if approved by or emitted by a device approved by the U.S. FDA, is not marketed and sold solely for that purpose. So again, building off of the previous definition, the definition of inhalant really goes after the substances itself that are used in the e-cigarettes and other devices. And again, most of this bill applies laws equally to these things as they're currently applied to smoking and to tobacco products. The one thing that I was asked to discuss today and to field questions on is on page 2, where we do have some new provisions of law with respect to e-cigarettes. On page 2, beginning on lines 34 through lines 31, we have three provisions that require the Oregon Health Authority to adopt rules. One, rules relating to the labeling of e-cigarettes. 2, rules relating to packaging e-cigarettes and substances and child-resistant safety packaging. And then finally, rules relating to marketing them in a manner that is attractive to minors. There's a couple things in the bill itself that I think are important to remember. One is if the FDA adopts regulations on any of these three things, OHA has to sync up their rules with the FDA, and we've included that. The other thing is that these rules are not required to be adopted under Section 35 of the bill, which is on the last page, until July 1, 2016. Everything else is going to kick in on a normal timeline. All rules have to be either The prohibitions kick in immediately. There is an E clause. But the other rules that OHA has to adopt under the bill, they must be adopted by January 1 in accordance with the normal timeline for a bill. But these three rules, in order to give OHA more time and the FDA more time, they don't kick in until July 1. I was asked very specifically by the chair, is this okay, to comment on the meaning of paragraph E on page 2, lines 36 to 38. OHA, you cannot distribute, sell, or allow to be sold an inhalant delivery system if the inhalant delivery system is not packaged in child-resistant safety packaging as required by the authority by rule. My interpretation of that particular clause is that it is not a mandatory child-resistant safety packaging for all inhalant delivery systems, components, or substances, but rather it directs OHA to create child-resistant safety packaging guidelines, including exemptions from such guidelines. It doesn't prohibit them from doing that, and that those guidelines must be adopted by July 1 of 2016. Are there any questions about my testimony?
And if we find that there needs to be more clarification before the July 2016, we have a February session also.
Correct. If there is need for clarification and that it does not occur by amendment this session, then there would be an opportunity in February of next year to do that if a member of the Legislative Assembly was willing to make that one of their two requests.
Senator Steiner-Hurwitz.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Representative Olson, Representative Taylor, for your comments, and Representative Taylor in particular for all your hard work on this. Mr. Mayor, just to clarify what you're saying, for example, with regard to this rulemaking, one could imagine that the vape pens themselves, yes, you could sell them in those horrible clamshell things that I can't even get open, let alone my kid. But my kid probably can now, but that's not really the issue. The issue is more the liquids. And so OHA could make a rule that says the liquids have to be permanently in childproof packaging, just the way medications are, so that if you want to open them, you have to have the dexterity that an adult has or the ability to read the instructions. But the pen itself, once you get it home and open it up, that doesn't have to be childproof from there on out. Am I understanding you correctly?
Chair Monis-Anderson, Senator Steiner-Hayward, that is my interpretation of the statute, as it gives OHA that leeway.
Okay, thank you. And another quick question. Representative Taylor and Representative Olson, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, one of the reasons we use the term inhalant delivery system is, rather than e-cigarette, which is the more common term, is that there are devices which are not electronic into which one could put loose leaf marijuana or tobacco and vaporize them in some way that the odor isn't detectable. So if we don't call them inhaled delivery systems or not obviously detectable in the same way, if one doesn't have a broader definition, then it would be very tough for law enforcement to understand what exactly was in a given device. Or someone could say, well, this isn't an e-cigarette, this is a vaporizer or something like that, and therefore it wouldn't be true. Is that your recollection? I was there at these work groups too.
Okay, go ahead.
You can answer it as well. From the work group, what we learned is that marijuana can be made into a liquid form. And there are devices that you can use, both to smoke an e-cigarette liquid or to smoke a marijuana liquid. Whether or not you can put marijuana leaves, as you refer to it, in a device that you can also smoke an e-cigarette liquid in, I don't know that part. I only know about, we had folks come and talk to us about that. We had information about the marijuana liquid can be used interchangeably with the e-cigarette liquid, if that helps answer. And therefore, law enforcement would have a hard time knowing if someone's standing there in the middle of a restaurant, oh, what are they smoking? Are they smoking marijuana, or are they smoking an e-cigarette? And the odor part is, some folks say they can detect the subtle difference. Others say they can't smell anything. So I think there's a little bit of ambiguity on that part. But you definitely can't just tell what they're doing. So,
but okay. Maybe. Thank you very much.
Hold on.
Did you want to answer?
Yes.
Well, I got questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Taylor, you mentioned in your testimony about studies as it relates to maybe the toxic nature of vaping. And so my question really is I was looking through our testimony that's at least on OLIS and saw that there was some testimony referring to a California study. And then we also have some testimony in here that says that the statement about e-cigarettes vapor containing toxins is really a failure to quantify that. So creating these impressions that they're as dangerous as cigarettes without indicating the concentrations are typically orders of magnitude less than tobacco smoke. So are there any other studies that you had in the House as it relates to the toxicity of the vapor that you could share with us?
Chair Moss Anderson, Senator Canope. So there are all sorts of studies, and there are folks who are true experts. We have Dr. Jennifer Vines here from the Multnomah County Health Department. She's going to come up and testify also. She's scheduled here today, and she'll be able to talk better than I will be able to explain on the studies we do have. And Mark Mayer is here, and he's pointing to me that specifically within the bill, the report, and I was going to have him speak a little bit to that so he can answer it better than I can. Are you talking to, maybe you're referring to that we're going to, the amendment? You're talking about the amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to talk about the amendment? You can talk about the amendment.
Chair Mona Sanderson, Senator Canope, there is, I guess I misunderstood what you were after at first, but there was an amendment on the House side for a report by the OHA to be done on that very thing and to be sent to the Legislative Assembly in 5 years in order to ensure that that information is being covered and disseminated to the members. I don't know if that helps answer your question or not, but that was an amendment that was included on the House side.
Chair, thank you, Senator Amana Sanderson and Chair Canope. So, yes, we're talking about two different things, but just to clarify, yes, there are all sorts of studies that are occurring on e-cigarettes. And, again, I'll have the experts come up and talk more about that. And we an amendment was requested and it was voted on the House Health Committee. And again, it says that there will be a look back, it'll be in 5 years, looking at a broad range of things. What is the research on e-cigarettes? What is happening with the FDA? And it's spelled out here in the amendment. So,
Madam Chair, can I just? So is the California study, though, the one that people are pointing to from the California Department of Health, is the one that creates the link, so to speak?
Chair Amana Sanderson, Senator Canope, there's more than one study from California, so I'm a little bit hesitant to go ahead and make a comment on that. There is a lot of activity that happened, similar to what's happening in Oregon, in California, and there's different things that happened at different layers of government within California, at the local level and at the state level. So I don't know that I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm happy to have someone from my staff or from the work group provide that information to the committee. I'd be happy to do that if you like.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have Chair Ludlow and Jennifer Vines, and then one of the rebel groups. Kyra, are you on the rebel group? Kyra, do you want to come up first?
Thank you. Sorry you had to wait so long. I can't control.
Yes, for sure.
I don't think we're
going to have. We only have chairs for three, so that's why I chose the people at this point.
I'll start out, Chair Mona Sanderson, Vice Chair Cruz, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Ludlow. I'm chair of the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to address this commission this day, or this committee this day. On behalf of unanimous support by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners in support of HB 2546, I commend Representative Taylor for bringing this bill forward and certainly for the opportunity to speak to you. As you are hearing today, and I don't want to be repetitious because everything has been said, well, maybe, is that, you know, we don't have any regulations when it comes to this kind of delivery system, and most of us think there should be regulations in that regard. This is particularly concerning given the studies that found dangerous and toxic substances in the oil. I find it interesting, you know, we, as a child of the 60s, and this said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there, that that it is interesting that we talk about a gateway drug, but this is a gateway habit, maybe, that brings them further down the line towards smoking or ingesting something. The trend for our kids is alarming, and I appreciate the flavors and the testimony in regards to that, but again, in 2 years only, until 2013, use of e-cigarettes among 11th graders has almost tripled. Nationally, almost 7% of all youths between 6th and 12th grade report trying e-cigarettes. And this shouldn't come as a surprise, but e-cigarettes can be purchased over the internet, as has been said, kiosks and at convenience stores, and multiple flavors clearly target our youth, much like candy in a candy store. This past September, Clackamas County banned the use of e-cigarettes in all of our county buildings, whether they were owned or leased. However, we deliberately held off enacting a countywide ban in anticipation that the legislature would address this and prevent possibly a patchwork quilt of regulations across our great state. We ask you to support the passing of HB 2546 by including e-cigarettes in the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act. The bill sends a clear message that vaping as well as smoking is not acceptable. Further, prohibiting sales to minors is the right thing to do for the health and well-being of our children. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today. I'll entertain any questions if you'd like.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. I'm Dr. Jennifer Vines. I'm a family physician, and I'm a deputy health officer for the Multnomah County Health Department. I've been a public health physician and primary care physician for almost 10 years now. I understood that all the bills were being heard together today, so I'll speak to some of the points that you may not have heard yet in support of House Bill 2546. I also have a couple of comments on Senate Bill 416, if that's okay.
Yes. I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 416, too.
Thank you. So we've heard a lot of compelling testimony, and people seem to be in agreement around banning access by minors to nicotine. And I just want to remind you of the science of nicotine. It is a pesticide, and it's not just the addictive substance in cigarettes that gets you hooked on the bad things that are in cigarettes. Nicotine is itself harmful. So it is associated with accelerated heart and vascular disease in animal models. It's associated with long-term structural changes of the brain. And so this is why we worry about young people whose brains are still developing, because those changes tend to happen in areas that control intellect and areas that are associated with addiction and addictive behaviors. We have studies that show an association between nicotine use in adolescence and later development of substance use disorders and things like depression and anxiety later in life. And as you've heard from people today, almost 90% of smokers start by age 18 and almost all of them by age 26. As you now realize, electronic cigarettes are completely unregulated. Their use is exploding. And you saw some interesting demonstrations in the video. I brought a vape pen with me today. So this is what one actually looks like. And this is the mouthpiece here that you would unscrew. And you can buy these bottles. So this is, for example, blowing raspberries. So you can fill the pen and then inhale, and it vaporizes, and you inhale it into your lungs. We've spoken a little bit about childproofing, and that's really the issue, I think, with these bottles. So these are, again, they're brightly colored. They smell like the flavors that are inside. And calls to poison control have actually exploded in addition to use of these products. So by an order of magnitude, we know that young children, children under age 6, are actually getting their hands on these products and ingesting them. And sadly, in New York State in December of last year, a child died, a one-year-old actually died from nicotine ingestion. We know that youth are particularly susceptible to the marketing that the tobacco industry uses. The retail environment is a place of interest, both for flavored tobacco and for electronics, electronic cigarette regulation. And I want to also speak to the Clean Air Act piece. So I understand some questions were raised around, you know, what's the science? And it's very hard to say anything general about second, quote-unquote, secondhand vaping, except to say that we know it's not just water vapor. So because these products are unregulated, there's nothing to say what's in all of them. But when people have actually studied them, they are finding heavy metals. They're finding volatile organic compounds, carcinogens, nicotine that is exhaled, and also small particles. And there is evidence that those those particles can then be inhaled by bystanders. And so I would just urge you to use the precautionary principle here, because again, with smoking, the burden was really on the public health system to prove harm. And in this case, we have the chance to get it right and make a clean piece of policy that includes electronic cigarettes with tobacco for our indoor clean air. And another prop, this is another electronic cigarette. So again, from an enforcement standpoint, it would be very hard to tell if this were an electronic cigarette versus a regular cigarette. So this is another type of e-cigarette. Finally, as far as Senate Bill 416 is concerned, I'd like to urge you to pass this in addition and let smoke shops pay for the cost of doing business. And this is the public health model. Restaurants pay their inspection fees, and there's no reason to have funds coming out of our tobacco prevention funds that really represent the front line for tobacco education, for funding the Oregon Quit Line, and for local health jurisdiction, really vital activities around tobacco prevention. So again, I would urge your support on that legislation as well. I'm happy to take questions. I will be submitting written testimony that has references of some of the science that I've mentioned here and that has some more detail for you.
Great. Thank you very much. No questions? All right. Thank you very much. Kyra, is it Okaya Schwartz, Ali Angeldelka, and Julie Adelsano? Close.
Madam Chair, while they're coming up, if I could just comment. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Bailey had hoped to come from Multnomah County today, and they, too, are planning on implementing regulations around inhaled delivery systems and the Indoor Clear Air Act if the state doesn't do it. So they, like Clackamas County, have held off hoping for consistency on a state basis.
Chair Monas Anderson and committee members, my name is Kira Ortega Schwartz. I'm 17 years old and I'm a senior at Clackamas High School, and I'm a rebel. So just to briefly mention again, the rebels are a group of high school students mentored by Providence, and we strive to influence through education, inspire through example, and to promote a tobacco-free world. As a rebel, I have the privilege of presenting to middle school students about the effects of tobacco and e-cigarettes alike. We start the e-cigarette portion of our presentation by asking them the question, what is an e-cigarette? The responses vary from an electronic cigarette to a thing that vaporizes tobacco. As we all know, an e-cigarette is a device which vaporizes liquid nicotine to be inhaled, which is also not regulated by the FDA. E-cigarettes present a challenge to my peers and I because there is so little information regarding their effect on the human body. The difficulty lies in trying to get a 13-year-old to understand that doctors and scientists are not all-knowing, that there is no way to know how using an e-cigarette every day for 10 years will affect you because they have not been around for 10 years. We try to focus on explaining the fact on how the fact that they are not regulated by the FDA is a danger in of itself. We also try to emphasize that for someone that is not already addicted to nicotine, e-cigarettes can lead them down a path toward traditional tobacco products. We present the scenario. You go to the 7-Eleven down the street to get a new cartridge for your e-cigarette. They are all out, so you have to find another form of nicotine, and so you decide to buy a pack of menthols. That is how e-cigarettes can lead you down a path toward traditional tobacco products. Our overall goal is to make sure that students are able to make educated decisions, but we cannot control their actions. Creating more barriers which will separate youth from accessing e-cigarettes will only benefit the community. Prohibiting the sale and use of e-cigarettes to minors would only make my work as a rebel more effective. This legislation, if it were to pass, would solidify our message to youth that e-cigarettes are in fact dangerous and should be avoided. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Hello, Chair Monas Anderson and committee members. My name is Ali Angel DeCal. I am 18 years old and representing James Madison High School in Northeast Portland as part of the Rebels Group. As the eldest of seven children, my parents began smoking by their second child, exposing the majority of their children to the normality of tobacco. With the Oregon Clean Air Act, we can restrict e-cigarettes and similar devices with laws of smoke-free areas, such as public parks, like the one 4 feet away off of school grounds, and transit areas. With those already related to and grouping with traditional cigarettes, bringing down the popular normancy and social acceptance of those electronic inhalant devices. I support House Bill 2546 against tobacco packaging that is attractive to minors, as my fourth grader brother had brought home, quote, a weird looking piece of gum, unquote, from my fellow classmate who recalled getting it from their mother's purse. My sibling asked our mother to take a look at it, as he was taught with any food and or beverage other people give him. As we looked closer, we found that within the package, on the interior side, was a small label of chewing tobacco. This makes me wonder what would happen if he didn't turn in that tasty-looking piece of tobacco. Perhaps the accidental distribution would have continued, resulting in perhaps a nicotine addiction before the age of 12. This could also lead into the eventual minor available inhalant delivery system purchases. With the flashy, bright packaging of tobacco products, even youths have a hard time distinguishing the difference between candy and tobacco products. Bringing forth that tobacco industry marketing is accomplishing their goal in targeting and luring in the youth as little as primary school and myself and my peers. I would like to thank you for your time and opportunity to share today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Mona Sanderson and the committee members. My name is Julia DeBow, and I'm an 18-year-old senior at Westview High School in Beaverton, and I am in support of House Bill 2546. With the carefully written language of this bill, I believe we will be able to decrease the amount of youths that are currently using these new accesses, such as e-cigarettes, as an opportunity to experiment with the new thing in town. Also, as I said before, we all know that this device can become a gateway for targeted youths, and by that I mean middle schoolers and high schoolers, to start using tobacco products. And also I want to bring it up that smoking is not just the nicotine addiction, but it's also being addicted to behavior of bringing that cigarette up to your mouth and down over and over again. And I think by training retailers and having them know the law and the consequences that come with their involvement in minors being able to buy, use, or be in possession of e-cigarettes will benefit our fight greatly. This is important to me because I don't think that it is okay for my 13-year-old sister to be able to walk into a store where she can buy a product that could lead her down the wrong path, as well as for her to have millions of posters around the areas that she hangs out with her friends or commercials that are dedicating their time to influence her choices. This bill means a lot to me because my uncle started smoking before the age of 12. And unfortunately, at the age of 24, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I had to watch my uncle go through a deteriorating stage of cancer, and eventually he died. And as someone that has 50 years plus in my life, I don't think my generation needs to be that guinea pig generation. I don't think that we should be able to access this form of products that we don't even have information on their effects in the future. I wish my uncle had the opportunity to sit in a room where other people could talk about his future and what he had in plan for his life. I know our generation holds the next president, the next senators, and possible chairs, and I would hate for them to sign off their lives, their futures, and everything they hold for just because of these products that are promoting us to lead a dangerous pathway. If this bill passes, not only will this be changing our world one step at a time, but it will increase our fight with more vigor, more passion, and more dedication. And also, when we look up and see that we have leaders like you supporting us, youths like me and my peers will understand that this is a battle worth fighting. And I'm asking you to support us in protecting our future and creating and promoting a tobacco-free world. Thank you for this opportunity to speak, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Again, I'm really impressed with you young students, and thank you so much for coming.
And Madam Chair, if I may,
Now you can see why I'm so proud that Sunset and Westview are the two high schools where the vast majority of my constituents go. So thank you. Go Wildcats.
Well, Madison is right next to my district, and I'm proud of you, too.
Well, it's not that I'm not, but it's lovely to have two Senate District 17 high schools right here.
Okay, Matt Menahan, Tim Churchill, and Stephen Dwight. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Sanderson and committee. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak with you guys today. We're discussing both bills.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. We're actually opposed to SB 415, which would restrict.
Don't say your name for the.
I'm record. Sorry. My name is Tim Churchill. I work with EC Blend. I'm up from Medford, Oregon today. We are an e-liquid manufacturer. We're in opposition to SB 415, which unfairly restricts flavors to adults' choice. I know in my own case, I smoked for 30 years. I tried all the cessation products that were available, and today I've not smoked for a year and a half. And it's because of my favorite flavor of e-liquid, which is cinnamon. I hear stories like this every week from our customers that they have quit smoking and tobacco flavors or menthol flavors are way down on the list. We do not manufacture or advertise these flavors to children, but to adults. If we go into liquor stores and grocery stores, flavors are in everything we see. And liquor stores have the sweet flavors, the all the vanillas and blueberries, and as adults we like them. And it's been our company policy not to sell to minors, no one under 18, strictly. And we support that in bill. In the HB 2546, we applaud you guys for taking that action. But we would also like to say that we would like the Dash 24 amendment on there, which would allow us, as in our retail stores, to be able to offer that as a sample for our customers. They have to be able to try this product. I was in retail for 26 years, and throughout the retail industry, this is a huge way for customers to be able to know what they're purchasing, to be able to purchase the correct items, and to fix their hardware. This is a new industry, and we're all learning a lot about it. There's a lot of studies, pro and con. The FDA had a workshop for 16 hours 2 weeks ago discussing a lot of the things that we're talking about here. But I beg you guys, because of my experience with e-liquid and e-cigarettes, to not overly restrict this product. It has huge harm reduction capabilities.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee, my name is Matt Minahan. I represent the Northwest Vapor Association. My very brief testimony today is going to be with regarding 2546. We are in support of 2546. What we are after and what we are needing is the exclusion from the Clean Air Act in the vape shops. And my point that I want to get across is this isn't an exclusion so we can, it's not a hookah lounge. It's not a cigar shop where we sit around and socialize and vape. It is an essential piece of the process to take a smoker from smoking to vaping. What flavors do we want and what nicotine levels are going to be appropriate for a smoker to stop smoking? If I've been smoking for 20 years, I might need a 32 nicotine level. I may need an 18. To sample that, when they take a sample vape, does that give me the sensation of a cigarette? It's going to be the flavor, and it's going to be the nicotine level that allows them to do that. So again, if we would support any amendment to the bill that allows vaping in a vape shop in an exclusion to the Clean Air Act. And I'm available for any questions.
Hello, I'm Stephen Dwight, Roseburg, Oregon. I'm actually an investor businessman in Roseburg. I just want to tell you that I invested in a vapor lounge in Roseburg a little over a year ago. And my goal in this business model was to help people get off of cigarettes. I don't like them any more than anyone else. And when we opened up the store, a couple of rules we had were no one under 18 is going to be allowed to buy a vapor product in our store. After a few months, we saw where kids under 18 would come in. We immediately put up a sign that no one under 18 could even come in the store. So I absolutely do not target kids under 18. That's not our market. That's not our plan. There's no effort to get kids hooked on candy-flavored e-liquids at all. I can tell you that we have over 500 customers today that would say it's helped them either greatly reduce their use of cigarettes or they're completely off of cigarettes. And what we've done is we structured our business model to offer five nicotine levels, starting at a higher level for people that smoke, either a lot or moderately, working them down to zero nicotine. And we've been successful with that. Our customers would tell you that they do not like the tobacco flavors as much, and the reason being it reminds them of cigarettes, and you've heard that already. Myself included, I was about a half a pack smoker a day. I like banana cream. I don't want to taste tobacco. I don't want those flavors. And it has helped me personally. I know it's helped a lot of my customers. I know that it is important for our customers to test product in our store. They absolutely want to test the product before they buy. Can't blame them for that. So we think it is important to have the flavors and have the ability for them to test our product. And all of our packaging is childproof. It's listed what the ingredients are on the package, the nicotine level, and other products. We have a warning label on our package. So we take every step we can to ensure that, you know, people see what they're buying and that they're 18 and above. We also have a fairly expensive scanner. We scan IDs just like they would if they were a person was to go into a bar or a lounge. We scan IDs. We check IDs if they look under 27 years old.
Thank you very much. And we need to...
Sure. I don't think any of these two gentlemen said their flavor, though.
I did.
Cinnamon.
Okay. Kevin, thank you very much. Kevin Campbell and Aaron Knott. And then I'm going to start calling up people that live more than 100 miles away.
Thank you, Chair Monis Anderson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police and the Oregon State Sheriff's Association to speak in favor of House Bill 2546A. I will be extremely brief. I'll tell you that when we were putting together our list of priorities for this session, this was on our priority list. The definition of these products and the regulation of it was important to law enforcement as we saw an increasing confusion out in the public with regard to these devices and how they can be used and where. We think that this bill creates a clear and bright line that the public can understand and that law enforcement officers can enforce consistently. And I'd like to just go into just a little more detail about that. Obviously, we've applied a standard of law in this bill that the public already understands. And I think that's incredibly important. And for law enforcement officers, when that is the case, when the public is clear, law enforcement is often not involved at all. And that is the goal, ultimately. These are not the type of engagements that we want law enforcement officers to be responding to. And I think that the tobacco products and the way those are currently handled is a good example of what happens when the public understands the structure. It's clear. Doesn't mean we'll never be involved, but the clarity is important. And for that reason, both the Chiefs and Sheriff's Association strongly support this bill. Thank you.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name's Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Attorney General. I'm here in support of both House Bill 2546 and Senate Bill 415. In the roughly 3 years that Ellen Rosenblum has been the Attorney General, she has written to the FDA three times requesting regulation on e-cigarettes, joining with as many as 28 other attorneys general in doing so. Many of the concerns expressed by those 28 attorneys general are dealt with in significant part by the combination of these two bills. The FDA, it's actually instructive to go back all the way to that 2009 piece of legislation that you've been hearing about. That was the Family Smoking Prevention and Control Act. That was how Congress eliminated flavors from conventional cigarettes and left us with just tobacco and menthol. What was interesting about that is as soon as that passed, two things happened. Number one, you saw an explosion of flavored tobacco products like cigars and cigarillos. And then almost immediately contemporaneous with that, you saw an explosion of minors using those products. And that's logical. It seems to be a consistent trend that minors go where the flavors are. And if you look at an overlay of the use of conventional cigarettes and e-cigarettes or other flavored products among minors, it looks like something of an X right now. Conventional cigarette use is going down, flavored use is going up, and they somewhat offset each other. In passing that legislation in 2009, Congress made substantial findings about the flavors, how they interacted with youth. And they determined that, quote, flavors and product modification to add flavors not only make the products more appealing to youth, but also often result in exposure to additional carcinogens and other toxic constituents. The FDA has referred to flavored tobacco products as, quote, containing flavors like vanilla, orange, chocolate, cherry, and coffee that are especially attractive to youth and are, quote, widely considered to act as starter products, encouraging downstream nicotine use and abuse. And it's really those concerns that motivated the Attorney General to get involved, trying to deal with the use of nicotine products by minors has not worked simply by saying you need to verify at point of sale. If that, as a standalone control, was effective, we wouldn't have an epidemic of youth smoking of non-flavored cigarettes. I think we are forced to conclude that simply saying we're going to check your ID and make sure you're not a minor has not been enough. It is the position of the Department of Justice that we need to take the additional steps in both of these bills and really be serious about making sure they don't end up in the hands of minors. I'm open for any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Spencer Knowles, Kristen McCready, and Jeff Luther. And this is why I'm opening both bills, because we're having the same people coming up. Yeah.
I'm just waiting for a little bit of AV.
We need to keep it to 3 minutes, and so.
Certainly, I can promise you that.
And please start.
Committee members, my name is Jeff Luther, and I'm not a vape shop owner. I'm just a citizen and a former smoker of 30 plus years. And vaping has helped me to stop do that, excuse me, to stop smoking. I started at 18 milligram, I'm down to 3 milligrams. I will soon be to 0 milligrams of nicotine. No tobacco, none of that whatsoever.
It's all right, man.
Sorry.
We're all in the same boat.
And as far as that goes, the flavoring is not a tobacco issue. The flavoring is, for me, my flavor is a red vine. It's like a red Twizzler is what I appreciate. And without being able to try that in a vape shop, I would not know that I like that. I would not have that avenue to stop smoking. And being in America, we should have a choice whether to smoke or whether not smoke. I do appreciate stopping the underage smoking. I appreciate stopping tobacco. That should all go away because I would not be in the situation I'm in to have to smoke or have to feel, you know, to go an avenue to stop smoking. But since I am there, I should be able to go that route, be able to try to vape, be able to reduce my habit and move on to a better way and have a healthier life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If possible, Kristen would like to defer her time to me so we can show you a 4-minute video rather than a 3-minute one.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'd also like to commend and thank the rebels for being here. I know that their hearts are in the right place, and I can assure them that all of us want to keep kids away from vaping and cigarettes. And there's a flip side of the coin. I myself have lost family members to cigarettes, and I view this as a way to keep other people off of cigarettes or to get them out of it. And that's my personal heartfelt opinion. We've all lost family members to cigarettes, and we all have different approaches to it. So that said, I've made a video in support of the Dash Amendment to allow vaping in vape shops only. I want you to ban this in public. I don't think the public is ready for it. So here's the video. I simply ask for vaping in our shop and places where we only sell vaping products.
Hi, I'm Jennifer, and I live in Bend. I have started vaping about a month ago. It's got me off cigarettes. I don't need the cigarettes. Actually, make it, it's gross to me. I had no idea about vaping at all until, I mean, I come in here, you guys give me the different nicotine levels, and it got me off smoking. That's good.
My name is Casey Brown, and I live here in Bend, Oregon. And vaping inside the vapor store is important to me so that I know what I'm getting, what the quality is that I'm getting, what I'm paying for, and what I'm going to be taking home with me.
So right here we have our taste testers so that people can try all the various liquid of flavors and nicotine levels. This really helps them dial in the correct nicotine level so they're not guessing, ordering a product online, getting nicotine too strong or not strong enough that way. If you can test it, then you know what your nicotine level is. That's the concept of testing.
My name is Spencer Skeen. I'm a resident here in Bend, Oregon. I smoked cigarettes for about 15 years. Since I started vaping, I haven't smoked a cigarette for, I want to say, probably 6 years. And my activity level has gone up. My overall health is better. People need to have the ability to taste and experience the different juices and the different nicotine levels firsthand. If they go online, they don't have the ability to really shop and experience it, and they may not have the same amount of success. Being able to customize my experience, it gives me control. I feel less...
I've got just a couple seconds left, but I noticed you weren't watching. Do you have a monitor there? Or? Okay. Just one point.
Controlled by the habit.
My name is Wendy Edwards. I live in Bend, Oregon. And the importance to me was to figure out what I was tasting before I purchased. When it's online, obviously you don't know what you get. And that part is hugely important to me. Online and other stores here in town that you can't try them at, I've ended up with stuff that isn't pleasurable at all for my purpose of trying to replace cigarettes. Yeah.
Okay, and have you been able to replace cigarettes?
Absolutely, 100%.
So this has definitely helped you quit smoking.
Yeah.
And I imagine you feel a lot better because of it.
I'm a total workout queen.
I seem about out of time. Chris would like to make one statement.
I just want to make
a
point.
And you didn't say your name for the record.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Spencer Knowles from Bend, Oregon.
And I'm Kristen McCready from Bend, Oregon. I just wanted to say that it's really important to be able to vape in our actual vape shops, because if not, then you're going online. You have no idea what you're buying. I've bought so many bottles and had no idea what I was going to try. And you end up wasting money and time. You might as well be able to go into a shop and have that opportunity to be able to do that. Takes the business away from the local businesses in Oregon, and then you'd be sending it somewhere else where they'd get it on the black market, have somebody else send it there. I mean, you'd have lots of problems with people trying to get the different juice flavors and trying to have more opportunity to be able to try the flavors.
And can I just ask, how many of you have actually been in a vape shop?
But I've had people bring me the vape products and show me how to use them.
Well, that's nice. But you're writing laws that are going to oversee all of the vape shops, but you haven't been in one yet?
We write a lot of laws.
Well, I'd like to give you an invitation. Please come visit mine. We'd love to see you there. I'm sure any owner of any vape shop would love to see you in their shop.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jerry Malmstrom, Sarah Hartstein, and Dean Jones. No Osteen Jones. Oh, come on.
Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on both of these bills. I represent the Oregon Nurses Association. My name is Sherry Malmstrom. I've been a public health nurse for over 30 years. I specialize in maternal and child health. I'm also a commissioner for women, and the commission also supports these bills. The Oregon Nurses Association is the oldest and largest professional nursing and union, and we support things that promote health and help prevent disease. Oregon is one of only 9 states that do not regulate e-cigarettes. The World Health Organization recommends regulating e-cigarettes the same way traditional cigarettes are regulated, which means including e-cigarettes and vaping in Oregon's Indoor Clean Air Act to protect public spaces and places of employment. These products are not emission-free. Secondhand aerosol emitted from them is not purely water vapor. And I'm here to tell you that many of my clients do not understand that. They think it's just harmless, it's just water, it's just nothing. The California Department of Public Health determined e-cigarettes emit a, quote, concoction of chemicals toxic to human cells in the form of an aerosol, and they contain at least 10 chemicals known to cause cancer, birth defects, and other reproductive harms. New research continues to emerge nearly daily, and little of this information would promote safe use. The nurses I work with help work with pregnant women, new mothers, their infants, and children. And we counsel young women and teenagers about the known dangers of tobacco use and the addictive nature of nicotine. We also know that the earlier one is exposed to nicotine, the more likely to become addicted. And, of course, a key component of electronic cigarettes, vape pens, and other inhalant delivery systems is nicotine, which is especially harmful to children and their developing brains. Limiting the appeal of these products is equally as important to preventing children and youth from becoming addicted to nicotine. We've seen a clear connection between starting with e-cigarettes and moving to more traditional tobacco products. E-cigarettes are marketed as an alternative to traditional cigarettes, complete with their tasty and colorful sounding names and flavors. One thing I wanted to add to all that else has been said is I work with a lot of pregnant teenagers, and one of the things we always do is ask if they smoke, and then we try to counsel them to quit smoking. In the past, we've used often the nausea that pregnant women, experience and their impending new motherhood is a good excuse to quit. And many of these women would quit. But we see a dangerous trend now where women say, well, I'm just going to switch to vaping because it's, kind of harmless. And my friend gave me this thing to try and it's kind of the cool new thing. And they really have no idea what they're getting. They don't know how much nicotine or if any's in it or whether it's safe or it's not safe. There's a lot of confusion amongst youth. And we're wasting a tremendously valuable opportunity to get them to quit smoking at one of the best times we can get a woman to stop smoking is when she's pregnant. As a public health nurse, I urge the passage of these bills to prohibit minors from buying or possessing e-cigarettes and include the e-cigarettes in Oregon's Clean Air Act to protect the public health and to stop a gateway to a new generation of addicts.
Thank you.
Chair Juana Sanderson and the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Steen Jones. I'm from URB Marketing Group, based out of Eugene, Oregon. I'm representing TJ Ridley and Urban Vapors today. He's very ill with a bad flu, so he had a few points that he'd like me to convey to the committee, as well as give a little personal take here. My father suffered 4 heart attacks, 25-year smoker. I'm a 25-year smoker myself, quit about 3 months ago. Being able to select flavors, my flavor, as Matt Minahan asked us to say, is blackjack. It's a fruity blend. It has allowed me to break away from smoking. I have 2 small children. I want to live long enough to see them. And I needed to know what flavor would disassociate myself from tobacco in order to break away from that addiction that took me 25 years to break. I've gone from 18 milligrams to 16 milligrams in 3 months. I would say that almost every vape shop owner has pushed for their clients to reduce the amount of nicotine in their e-liquid if they're able to, and support that wholeheartedly. In terms of House Bill 2546, Mr. Ridley wanted me to convey that he is in support of the Dash 23, which would give an exclusion for vape shops in order for his clients to make sure that they have a place where they are able to sample e-liquid and have a safe place where they can do that, and also not be an inconvenience in any way to the customer experience of other neighboring businesses.
Thank you very much.
Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee, again, my name is Sarah Hartstein, and I'm the health policy specialist with Benton County. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Coalition of Local Health Officials in support of House Bill 2546A. The Coalition of Local Health Officials represents all 34 health departments in Oregon. In my written testimony, I have provided more details, so I'll be brief here. Smoke-free policies such as the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act lower tobacco use overall and especially help kids from picking up the habit. When triggers for smoking are not visible, those who are addicted to cigarettes smoke less, quit, and stay quit. When children see healthy behaviors from those role models, it sets a community expectation for a smoke-free lifestyle and fewer kids smoke. Including inhalant delivery systems in the Indoor Clean Air Act through House Bill 2546A can be an effective means to reduce tobacco and nicotine use and prohibit the use of cannabinoids in public places and places of employment. Nicotine-free environments also protect us all from the potential harm of nicotine aerosol. As I mentioned in my previous testimony, Benton County and the City of Corvallis have already taken this step to prohibit inhalant delivery systems use indoors and prohibit the sales to minors. Not all communities are the same. Benton County Board of Commissioners and the City of Corvallis Council decided this was important and that it couldn't wait for state law to be updated. These local ordinances also ensure that smoke and vape shops are smoke and vapor free in order to support the public's health. These ordinances were adopted for the reasons previously shared and in order to resolve some enforcement challenges that we were coming in contact with. The Coalition of Local Health Officials urges your support on this important bill as written with no exemptions. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Christine Walker, Jennifer Vines, James Wright. Or is it Christine Luther, Walker or Luther? And remember, we have both bills open, and so
we have three actually,
and 416. Yeah.
Did you want me to testify about 416 at any point, or want to wait until we're going to hear it again? Do you want me to wait?
We can just work next.
Okay. Then I'll just testify.
Okay. So Christine Walker is not here, or it's either Luther or Walker or Wither or.
I guess it must be me.
James Wright, is he here?
I am.
Okay,
ma'am.
James, please proceed.
Yes, ma'am. Chair Anderson.
Colin ran also.
Senator Hayward. Mm-hmm. Apparently everyone else ran off. As I stated before, I am a vape shop owner in Kaiser, Oregon, and I do support the 18 and older part of the 2546 bill. First day we opened up, we put up sticker that says, you know, we will not sell to anyone under the age of 18 for e-cigarettes. It's been on my door since the day one that we opened our shop. We check IDs. We do everything in our humanly possible to make sure that we do not sell to anyone under the age of 18. And the only thing I can ask is that, you know, the Dash 24 is the exclusion for vape shops, or is it 23? I've heard two different numbers.
I haven't seen them. I just heard about them.
Okay. So either the Dash 23 or the Dash 24 is for the exclusion for vape shops, because that is so, it's an important part of, you know, of our knowledge to impart on the person who's buying the equipment and the liquid to use to stop smoking cigarettes, that, you know, we give them the option to try, you know, the different flavors. And if we can't do that, then I believe they're, California has passed it, so you can't. So most shops down there, they actually put them into, like, rolling toolboxes and then take them outside the shop. And I've, unfortunately, where I'm located, since I'm on the sun side and Oregon weather is just so wonderful, you know, having people go outside into the rain to try it, I mean, when I could do it inside, I mean, most of my samples don't contain nicotine, so I'm not sure how that would be affected, but I do have some that are for people who want to try them at the certain nicotine level that they're going to be getting. So I think it's my only request is that vape shops have an exclusion to that, the Indoor Clean Air Act. And that's it. Thank you.
Excuse me. Hi, my name's Colin Rao. And I'm the owner of Emerald Vapors in Eugene, Oregon. We also have a store in Springfield and Portland, Oregon. My company employs 35 people in manufacturing, retail, and wholesale distribution of electronic cigarette products and e-liquid in Oregon. My company has enforced its own age restriction policy since we started. My company targets adult smokers who want to kick the nasty habit of smoking, and have been, and we've been enormously successful in doing so with our popular slogan, "Kick Ashes." Excuse me. I've been smoke-free for just over 3 years, thanks to electronic cigarettes, and I can now consume one-tenth of the nicotine I consumed when I started vaping. Like my customers, I had tried every available smoking cessation product and always went back to smoking. Emerald Vapors will help over 150 people kick the habit of smoking by switching to electronic cigarettes this week alone. Showing these customers that our products sufficiently mimic the sensation of smoking is an integral part of the transition from smoking to vaping. Like myself, most of my customers taper their nicotine strength down to almost nothing over the course of several months and quit vaping altogether. For those that choose to continue vaping, as many do, having the ability to change flavors is essential, and allowing our customers to sample the flavors is essential to successful continued cessation. I strongly oppose Senate Bill 415 and support House Bill 2546 with dash, I believe it's 25, pardon me for not remembering exactly, with the vape shop exclusion. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes. Senator Steiner Hayward's going to testify on 416.
And I think we have some folks from the Health Authority who are going to, if that's okay, Madam Chair.
Karen. No, no, we have a lot more people to hear from.
I'll go ahead and get started. Thank you, Madam Chair, and the member of the committee who is still sitting here. For the record, Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, State Senator from Senate District 17 and a family physician, chief sponsor of Senate Bill 416, I've lost track of bill numbers at this point, which would, we currently have in Oregon a certification program for smoke shops, i.e. Tobacco retailers that sell and allow sampling on premises of tobacco. And the problem with this program right now is that the way it was originally set up, it required that we use tobacco prevention education program funds to run the certification program. So in other words, we're using tobacco prevention funds to support businesses that sell tobacco, which I find rather problematic, especially given all the testimony we've heard today about the challenges of tobacco use. So Senate Bill 416 has the very simple goal of requiring these shops, if they want to maintain their certification, to cover the cost of the licensure and enforcement. Other businesses have to pay the full cost of their licensure to do business. Restaurants, any other business that goes through corporation division, they pay their own costs for both the licensing program and enforcement, but smoke shops don't. And so instead of using tobacco prevention funds to actually go out and prevent tobacco use, we've been using them to support these tobacco selling businesses. So it has the very simple intent of not spending taxpayer dollars and dollars from the Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement to support these businesses. And I don't really see why our taxpayer dollars should be supporting businesses that sell tobacco. So it's pretty straightforward, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Karen Gerard, and I am the Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention Section Manager at the Oregon Health Authority. And I'm here today to present information on Senate Bill 416, which concerns the imposition of fees on entities that are subject to the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act. As Senator Steiner Hayward said, Oregon's Indoor Clean Air Act protects nearly every Oregon employee and the public from the health risks of secondhand smoke by prohibiting smoking in most public places and workplaces. There are a few exceptions that continue to expose Oregonians to secondhand smoke, and those exceptions are in cigar bars and smoke shops. Cigar bars and smoke shops do not pay any fees for certification or recertification. Instead, the cost is funded using funds by ballot measure 44 from 1996, which was to dedicate a portion of cigarette taxes to tobacco prevention and education. Administering the certification process requires staff time to respond to smoke shop inquiries, answer questions from potential smoke shop owners, and follow up with applicants during the application review process. There are also legal costs for clarifying the rules and responding to legal challenges brought by businesses that are denied certification. The process for smoke shop certification also includes training and educational materials for local tobacco prevention coordinators who inspect these smoke shops annually. This bill requires the Oregon Health Authority to impose a reasonable fee to cover the costs of smoke shop certification. As currently written, the Public Health Division has no concerns with Senate Bill 416 and can calculate the costs associated with smoke shop certification based on our prior experience. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm available to answer any questions.
As am I.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Joseph Gilpatrick, is he here? No? Okay. Will Krause? No? Nikki Terzieff? Tim Schultz? Claudia Black? I'm going through my list. Sean Miller, you want to come up here too? Okay. We're getting through it.
Madam Chair and member of the committee. My name is Claudia Black, and I'm the Government Relations Director for Multnomah County. I'm testifying today on behalf of Multnomah County Chair Deborah Cafori, who is unable to meet to be here today because of the recent death of her mother. You have before you Chair Cafori's letter of support for House Bill 2546A, and I've been asked to read it into the record. Dear Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the Senate Health Care Committee, I write in support of House Bill 2546A, legislation to protect youth from exposure to e-cigarette products and align e-cigarettes and vaping products with cigarette use in the Indoor Clean Air Act. On March 5, 2015, the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners unanimously passed similar legislation to House Bill 2546A, as this measure passed out of the House. We believe this legislation is crucial to protecting youth from e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes are a new product, yet they are already widely sold throughout Multnomah County. They are unregulated, and there are no safety standards for what is in them, how they are packaged, who can buy them, and where they can be used. Youth are being targeted in advertising for these products. E-cigarettes are often placed next to candy with flavors that are especially tempting to kids and, in fact, contain the same flavorings as many popular candies. Sadly, calls to the poison control have increased in Oregon and nationwide after children swallowed vaping liquid and one child in New York died. We've heard, and you heard today, from the Madison High School Rebels that kids use these e-cigarettes at school and they see them in use frequently. We also know that nicotine, a primary ingredient of most e-cigarettes and vaping liquid, is not healthy and can interfere with brain development. There are no long-term studies on the health impacts of e-cigarettes because they haven't been around long enough. Teen cigarette use has dropped dramatically over the last few decades, but vape pens and e-cigarettes are being used in public spaces, at malls, on sports fields, and playgrounds, and these products are renormalizing public smoking. As the Rebels told us, kids perceive them as safe because they're absolutely legal for them to buy and use. I hope that you will support this legislation as it came out of the House. Sincerely, Deborah Cafori.
Thank you.
Chairwoman, I'm Tim Schultz. I'm with Elements Vape Shop. We run a couple of vape shops in the Multnomah County, Washington County area, and also down in California. A lot of what I have to say has already been said, so I'll try and pick out some points here. One is that we, of course, you know, support the no kids and no indoor usage at all. And kind of how I tell people is you shouldn't use it where you can't smoke. But as, you know, you've heard from everybody else, the sampling, the flavors and stuff like that are crucial to getting people off of cigarettes. I was a 27-year smoker. I smoked 2 packs a day. Never thought I'd quit. Tried many times with many different options. I tried different medications, cold turkey, cutting down, never able to quit. And this freed my life. And I like to pass that on to other people. But part of that, I was very hesitant as if this would even work for me. And without being able to try it and find the flavor that you want to go to over a cigarette is very crucial. You know, I'm a dessert guy. I'm into butterscotch custard is what we call my all-day vape. But anything, if it's a cake, a cream, a pie, a cookie, that's what I gravitate to. And if I had to vape tobacco, it would lead me back to cigarettes. These flavors are what keep us off of tobacco. And I've also had people, family members die from smoking that would be alive today, I believe, if these products had been around a lot longer. The other thing that I do have to say is that there was a study released last week that was released to the WHO. That the study was done by the Anastas Cardiac Surgery Center in Athens, surveyed 20,000 people in the United States and Europe, and the smoking cessation success there was 81%. These things are a miracle cure for the people who want to quit and could not. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sean.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of Enjoy, which is an e-cigarette, e-liquid vapor manufacturer. And I just want to just follow up. A lot of that's been said. I won't repeat. But I do want to follow up just on some conversation we had, Madam Chair, and Senator Steiner Hayward today just on the page 2 of House Bill 2546 regarding the lawfulness of it is unlawful to distribute, sell, or allow to be sold an inhalant delivery system that is not packaged child resistant safety packaging. And just in an effort to make sure that packaging is consistent and this is understood from a level, you know, as statutory versus the rulemaking, I know your conversation with legislative council gives rulemaking authority to the health authority. But when you look at inhalant delivery system, it's very broad. It could be the hardware. It could be the mod, that vape pen, those things that you heard. You heard you know, supporters talk about the need for having the child-resistant safety packaging being for the nicotine liquid container, and there's no argument there at all. That should be provided in this bill, and we support that. However, we just want to make sure it's the legislative intent, and, you know, obviously would like to have that clarified if possible, just to really narrow down to that nicotine liquid container, similar to Washington. Actually, Washington, if you look at the definition of inhalant delivery system, they just further clarify that nicotine liquid container, and that's what's specifically in their packaging statute. So, again, I just want to point that out because these companies wouldn't know where to begin if the pens or the hardware had to be child resistant packaging, because again they wouldn't know where to begin to do that. But again, if it's specific to liquid container, obviously no objection from my client. Thank you.
Well, after talking with Legislative Council this afternoon, the legislative intent is for the liquid container, and so
absolutely,
and so that message needs to be sent loud and clear to the Oregon Health Authority, Karen Gerard.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, where are we on the list here? Kelly Lovelace and Allison Struber and Justin Rainey. Yeah, Rainey.
False brother.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman and committee person, I guess. My name
out.
Is Kelly Lovelace. I'm from down in Lane County. I represent Kick and Vapors, which is a store we have in Springfield. I would like to comment some on the testimony that I've heard today on both these bills. Quite often I've heard that tobacco companies promote and tobacco, many times. And it is my personal view, and I think most people in the vape industry's view, that we are in direct competition with the tobacco companies. The shop that we have targets people that are wanting to quit smoking, the baby boomers, people that want to quit. We have a flavor bar that has no nicotine in the flavors that are there at that bar, so people can try the bar, try flavors, and see what fits them. And then if you need nicotine in it, we have a range from 6 to 18% in that range, how it works. We are very much in favor of minors not being allowed to be in the shops. We have never, from the very beginning, it was minors not allowed. Signs up on the door immediately. This is a way for a great many people to stop smoking. And they are very successful at it. It's amazing the amount of people that come in and are glad to have found a way to quit smoking. And not only that, the cost. You know, if you're buying a carton of cigarettes a week even, it's $50. Vaping is a third to 20% to 30% of that same cost. So these people not only are seeing that they're be able to get off cigarettes and feel much better, be much more active, you know, there's also the very fact that they're saving a good portion of money in doing so. This is a service industry for people to get off of cigarettes. And we need to really think our way through how we regulate it so we can continue that. You know, it's not that I think smoking is great, because I certainly don't. I started smoking at 16 in 1964, and it took me forever to get here. So that's what I have to say. We do not want minors smoking under 18 out the door, just like cigarettes. But if we can get people off of cigarettes, we are winning in every way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Justin Rainey. I'm here today on behalf of Reynolds American. Reynolds American owns RJR Reynolds Vapor Company, which sells the manufactures and sells the product Vuse. Reynolds America strongly supports provisions of the bill that prevent minors from buying and possessing electronic cigarettes, vapor products, or inhalant delivery systems, and it would penalize the retailers who sell those products. We sell our product through the traditional retail chains and only in stores that comply with the We Card Under 18 program. So we're very supportive of that language. We do want to reiterate some of the comments relating to the rulemaking, specifically the Dash 20 amendments that we've proposed would really just make it clear that if a manufacturer already seals the liquid nicotine, that you wouldn't have to do that twice. So we would definitely ask the committee to consider the legislation or to work through the rulemaking process to make that clear. The bill also gives the Oregon Health Authority rulemaking to adopt language around labeling and what's viewed as attractive to minors. We think that state regulation is premature in that area. Last summer, the FDA closed the public comment period on their proposal to regulate e-cigarettes. The FDA is scheduled to take final action in June of 2015. We think it makes sense to wait, review the FDA regulations prior to the state getting involved. So the Dash 21 amendments that we'd ask for the committee to support would simply delete the rulemaking provisions granted to the Oregon Health Authority just around labeling and around what's viewed as attractive to minors, and then we'll just ask for a report back on the FDA rules. That's all I have.
And just to reiterate, the intent is to that's most of this is going to be covered in the rulemaking process, and the intent is on the liquid not having to seal twice. Those types of things, I think, can be taken care of in the rulemaking.
Great. Thank you, Chair.
Hi. My name is Allison Stubbert. I am the owner of Oregon Vapor E-Liquid. I thought about what I was going to say before I came here, but everybody else already said it, so I wrote down some notes. I'm going to go over a couple of things. First of all, it was said by Jennifer Bynes that nicotine is a pesticide. So my question, I guess, is why do we have Nicorette and the patch? Go ahead and stick that pesticide on your arm. Doesn't make any sense to me. As far as packaging for new regulations, on your page 2, paragraph E, here's my e-liquid. It's shrink-wrapped. You have to break it open. Once that's open, it's child-proof. A child cannot get it off. If any child got a hold of one of these, it's not the manufacturer's fault. It's the parent's fault. There's also a warning on here about 18 and under only children. My main thing is the Dash 24, vaping and vape shops. It's very, very, very important. I wouldn't have been able to quit smoking had I... I was smoking 3 packs a day because my business partner and my daughter, 5-year-old daughter passed away in February 2014. 3 packs a day. For my birthday, I got a vaporizer. I haven't touched a cigarette since. Her dream was for us to quit smoking. I've done that successfully. I couldn't have done it if I couldn't have walked into a vape shop and tried different juices. There's no way. Also, on your statistics of showing that use among teens doubled from 2011 to 2012, that may be true, but the statistics omit that the relative information, the industry itself has grown more than double in size during that year, meaning all use of these products doubled, not just teen use. It's very deceptive, very, very deceptive. Another reason I think vaping and vape shops is important is because the way I look at it, 2,300 children die a year from alcohol-related products, whether it be in a car accident by a drunk driver, the flavored alcohols teenagers are getting hold of, and there are more flavored alcohols than there are tobacco. These aren't tobacco, sorry. A person can walk into a bar and drink alcohol, walk out of that bar, even though it's illegal, it's a law, you can't get behind the wheel, and they do, and they kill children, 2,300 a year. And I'm being told that I can't walk into a vape shop as an adult, try some product, see what nicotine level I need, see what flavor works best for me, walk out sober, still in my right head, and drive away without the risk of killing somebody. It makes no sense to me. So if you guys could pass that amendment, Dash 24, so that we can go into a vape shop and vape, I would appreciate it so there's no more dead kids.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, again, Will Krause, Nikki Terzieff. No, they're not here. All right, then Carrie Neeson, Stacy Michelson. Nope. Taylor Jones, Nafisa Farr, Edward Wiggins.
Good evening now, right?
This is Carrie Neeson. I'm with American Lung Association of the Mountain Pacific. Sounds like we've got great consensus on the youth piece, so we won't talk about that at all. And just want to remind us that when it comes to e-cigarettes, it's really the wild, wild west out there. There's not a whole lot of regulation. We've got over 500 manufacturers of e-cigarettes. There's over 7,000 different flavors, and we have no idea what's in them. There have been some studies with some e-juices that have found the emissions contained benzene, formaldehyde, and other chemicals in the emissions. The American Lung Association strongly supports keeping e-cigarettes in Oregon's smoke-free workplace law to continue our established norm of healthy air in our public places and workplaces. And we also want to make sure that all workers are protected from harmful emissions. So appreciate a clean bill coming out of your committee.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Good evening, Chair Monis Anderson and member of the committee. My name is Nafisa Fai. I work for Upstream Public Health as a chronic disease prevention program manager, which tobacco is a key priority area for us, tobacco prevention. Upstream Public Health is a nonprofit organization working to create the social and environmental conditions in which all Oregonians can be healthy and thrive. I'm here with you this afternoon on behalf of Upstream Public Health to testify in support of House Bill 2546 with no exemptions as a portal to protect children in my county and across Oregon from addictive nicotine products and their delivery devices, as well as to ensure that everyone breathes air that's free of nicotine, which affects kids and adults. We have an opportunity to prevent harm from future generations of children, especially those experiencing economic hardship and our youth of color. We have a collective responsibility to take care of our communities, and unfortunately, we've missed the boat in the past, preventing nicotine and tobacco use. Right now, 1 in 3 Native American and Black adults use tobacco, and as earlier, I won't reiterate, you've heard some of the statistics around adults that use tobacco as youth. It troubles me that every third high school junior that you meet today in Oregon have already reported using smokeless tobacco. Now, we do not know the dangers of electronic cigarettes. We can all agree with that. And while I'm encouraged that adults can use them to help transition away from poisonous to conventional cigarettes, we also know that nicotine is highly addictive. Considering that nearly about 80% of people who try to quit smoking relapse, to me, e-cigarette sounds, you might be switching from one addiction to another addiction, as we said earlier, some of the people that testified for this bill. Nicotine is still poisonous and more addictive than cocaine and heroin. Recent studies suggest that nicotine causes brain development problems in children, as Dr. Jennifer Fine earlier indicated. So why would we not keep these toxic and harmful products out of the hands of children? Enough is enough. We do not need to wait another 50 years to identify this as a public health hazard. Our communities of color have already carried too much burden of this from a history of tobacco pushing in our communities. According to the SINAR report, Oregon has the highest illegal sales rate in the country. We also need to address this problem. And licensing can ensure that these products are inaccessible to minors. We need to impose a similar age restriction as traditional cigarettes on e-cigs, and retail licensing with enforcement and education will ensure of that. Hey, thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Good evening, Senator Monis Anders, and thank you for sticking around, Senator Howard. I own a vape shop.
Say your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Edward Wiggins, for the record. I own a vape shop in a small town in Newburgh, Oregon. I had a very promising career as a garbage man. I made good money. I've given that up to help other people. I've been vaping for 3 years. If it wasn't for the vape shop, I would not be vaping at all. I use zero nicotine in my product. The only reason I do that is because I'm helping other customers with their avenue, and the zero nicotine is enough of a vice for me to not have to pick up the traditional cigarette or nicotine products when my customers leave. you talk about banning the use of this in the vape shop. You know, basically, all you're doing is turning all the vape shops into bar sidewalks. We're going to move our product outside, which is going to hinder with people walking by and things like that. So you're going to, that's what's going to wind up happening. It's also going to increase the black market. You're not going to be able to stop people from making this at home. They're going to be able to order these products if they're not getting them from a regulated shop that is following the government guidelines, whatever those guidelines wind up being. They're still going to get their flavors at home. They can buy the non-flavored and add the flavors at home. Kids are doing this all the time. I have 18-year-olds bringing me in the stuff that they made at home, wanting me to try it. I won't try it because it's not done in a proper facility. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, Taylor Jones, Claudia Black, we already heard from her. Gabriel Areola. And we already asked for, is it Janice Cook or Janet Wine?
Janice.
My reading ability.
I don't write very well either.
Please proceed.
Hi, my name is James Cook. I'm not very well spoken.
Just have to be here. It's great.
Here's the thing.
Your name.
My name is James Cook.
Yeah.
I live in Gresham, Oregon. Fourth generation, native Oregonian. I'm expecting my third granddaughter. I'll have added two more generations of Oregonians myself. So that's awesome. But the thing is this. I smoked two packs of cigarettes a day, or about a pack and a half. Sometimes it would be two, depending on what was really going on, for about 25 years. And it wasn't until I found an e-cigarette that I was able to quit. And I truly believe that these things are saving lives. It freaks people out because they see people exhaling something, and they just automatically assume that it's tobacco, and it's not. There is no tobacco in an electronic cigarette. And a thing that's scary for me, too, is you're what the board's doing is, like, with the flavor ban, I oppose it. And I think we should be able to vape in vape shops. I'm an adult. I pay my taxes. I want to vape in the vape shop. I like strawberry. I don't want you to tell me that I have to have vanilla. I don't think that that's right. We're not marketing to children. You've heard everybody from the industry. This is about taking people that are hopelessly addicted to the number one killer in the country. 450,000 people this year will die in the United States due to tobacco-related illness. And people lose sight of that. This is an opportunity. Let's say that this thing is no good, right? I don't believe that. The studies are coming back really, really good. But the thing is let's give this a chance, man. Let's say you're proposing squashing an entire industry and maybe taking away, you know, somebody's chance for what? For what seems to me to be a lack of knowledge, maybe fear, or just that something bad could happen, so let's stomp out flavors and kill this industry. I don't think that that's right. Let's not do the flavor ban on juice, man, and let's vape in our shops. That's all I'm asking for.
Thank you so much.
My name is Gabriel Areola. Thank you for hearing us out today. I'm speaking in opposition against HB 2546, specifically in the aspect of how you related cannabis and marijuana to it. Page 8, Section 15 states the people of Oregon find that because of exposure to secondhand smoke, certain exhaled small particulate matter and other exhaled toxins known to cause cancer and other chronic diseases such as heart disease, asthma, and bronchitis. This is not true at all with marijuana. Never been proven secondhand smoke or smoking marijuana to cause cancer. It actually helps with cancer. Another thing I had it wrong was with the Section 14. Section G, it has a maximum seating capacity of 40 persons. To say that 40 of us can't get together and smoke to help fight our ailment or cancer, for that meaning, is kind of absurd in my eyes. I mean, it's helping a lot of people with the medical community already. Doing this would, in effect, close any kind of cafe or club smoking establishment opening. You basically just put them out of business saying that they can't have over 40 people because, I mean, that would be the revenue of, like, seating people, feeding them, or providing entertainment, any kind of entertainment at all. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming. Taylor Jones. Janet Wynn. Michael Jones. It looks like we have, Taylor. Nikki isn't? Okay, it looks like everyone's testified that has signed up. Thank you all so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And with that, any other comments, Elizabeth?
No, ma'am.
Okay, we are adjourned.
No, ma'am.
Okay, we are adjourned. Other comments, Elizabeth?